radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
With the third pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Reed Sheppard from the University of Kentucky.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Thursday, June 27th, 2024. Lots of stuff to dive into today. The Astros back at 500 in the midst of a seven-game winning streak. But on a day as sacred as this day, June 27th, the day that DJ Screw, back in 1996, released his amazing mixtape that I've never listened to, that the Houston Rockets, with the third overall pick, embrace screw culture by drafting this guy.
What's up, Rocket fans? Reed Sheppard here. Super excited to be in Houston. I can't wait to get this season started. Let's do it.
Hell yeah, Joe George.
He's feeling it. He's loving it.
He was holding up a thumbs up. No, throw up the H.
He'll learn.
Cal McNair learned.
I thought Jalen Green would have given him some pointers, maybe.
He should have.
Right there, then and there. But the thumbs up, so come on, Reed. Downgrading my love of the draft pick.
Is Jalen Green long for Houston if he's not telling Reed Sheppard to throw up the H immediately after the selection?
It's just... What's up, Houston?
Look. He is very white.
Yes.
He is not the tallest man. Yes. And I can understand why a lot of people, myself included, look at the pick at face value without doing your homework and say, oh, this guy's the third overall pick for the Houston Rockets?
It does. It's still weird. It was a weird night last night watching the NBA draft. They were trying so hard to say good things about these guys across the board. But you've got bench players being taken in the top 10, two of them from Kentucky, Sheppard and Dillingham. You got these French dudes who no one really knows a lot about, and their stats are sad.
Three frogs in the first six picks. I mean, American culture's on the decline, but good God, three frogs?
The amount that Richard Jefferson just had to talk last night about how great French basketball is was nauseating.
Yeah.
He just kept going back to the same. It's like he clearly had nothing else to say.
By the way.
Because he just kept going back to it.
Joe, they had a fourth frog.
They did.
In the first round.
They did.
And I mean, shoot, day two of the draft is today. Who knows how many more frogs will be invading our league. Hashtag build a wall. But Reed Sheppard, he's the pick for the Houston Rockets. Let's get serious for a moment. Teams always are going to compliment the hell out of the player that they draft. Any sport, you're going to hear tons of compliments. So for the fourth straight year, it's not surprising that the Houston Rockets said that they believe that they got the best player in the draft. But this time's a little bit different because Rafael Stone said that Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky is the best player in the draft by quite a bit.
Yeah, we had Sheppard very, very high. So I think lots of players, including Donovan, were going to be very successful. But yeah, I mean, our evaluation was that Reed was, you know, Reed has a very special skill set that gives him a chance. It's definitely not a certainty, but gives him a chance to be special in the NBA in a way we thought was unique in this draft.
You can shoot the basketball well, you can play in the NBA. There will be a spot for you in this. Like, if you try on defense and you shoot the ball well, you can play in the NBA, even if you're undersized. Reed Sheppard kind of he checks those boxes. If this was, I wonder if they're saying this if they don't have Şengün, Adams, Jabari, and Klingon sitting there. This to me feels more of a best player, but also probably fits the needs the best for this team. You know, normally in the past, I think the Rockets are just taking literally the best player on the board, no matter what. This one to me seems more of, he might have been their best player, but he also probably fits the roster construction the best at this point, too.
They need shooters.
Exactly.
They don't really have any shooters. Yeah. I mean, there's been games this year where Dylan Brooks is the guy that you're relying on from outside. Good God. You don't want that to happen next year. So you're hoping that he's going to grow into some sort of role. We'll see what it is. I imagine much like at Kentucky, he's going to be coming from off the bench, but maybe more so in a Peyton Pritchard kind of role with the Boston Celtics, for those who are paying attention to the NBA playoffs. More positive notes about Reed Sheppard. They said, as you heard from Rafael Stone there, that they really liked him, and had they not had him available at number three, they would have traded out of that pick. A press release that the Houston Rockets emailed to Rockets media compared him to not just Tyrese Halliburton, but also to Steph Curry.
Okay. Those are big comparisons.
Very big comparisons.
I think the when you to you know connecting these quotes, best player in the draft by quite a bit. We would have traded the pick if he wasn't there. Besides, just like I said, fit, that also does go to the credence of why, you know, they probably are so high on him. You don't typically hear that in a press conference. I don't feel like it, where you openly admit, if this guy's not there, we're probably trading the pick. Most times they just say, yeah, he's our best player, and this was the hope and the plan all along. But to openly acknowledge that you're going to trade that pick, or we're going to try to trade that pick, if Reed Sheppard went in the top two, is also another indication of how much they love him. And I mean, like, the PR staff is not writing the Tyrese Halliburton, Steph Curry comps. That's coming from people in the basketball side, and they're telling them what to write in this moment. So that's setting high expectations. They maybe that's not what they meant to do, but when you put it out there and then it gets put on social media, the fans are going to flock to that and say, oh my gosh, we just got a short version of Halliburton. We just got the next Steph Curry with hopefully better ankles. Like that's what fans are going to think.
You've seen, if you've been paying attention to pre-draft coverage, that even though Reed Sheppard isn't the biggest guy, the measurables, I guess, in terms of his wingspan are comparable to Steph Curry. And they're pushing that because he is listed 6'2", 6'1". We're not really 100% sure what. But they want people to not be concerned about his overall size. Now, to say, as you just said there, that he's got similar numbers and pushing all of the numbers that they did in terms of his shooting percentage and stuff at college, the expectation is going to be that if they develop him properly, that maybe he won't be Steph Curry, and maybe he won't be Tyrese Halliburton. But if he's the best player in the draft, I mean, you better be getting someone that can eventually turn into, as someone brings up on YouTube, Texas Tags, J.J. Redick adjacent. Like, that's best case scenario probably what you're thinking for. Just a guy who is a really good shooter over the course of his career and can also do the little things, which Sheppard actually did a very good job of, seems to be a very good passer and seems to be very good defensively.
Honestly, the one that I keep thinking of is there's this stretch from 2019 to 2022 in which Curry averaged 12 points a game, 15 points a game, 14.9 points per game. It's Seth Curry. Like, that is a good role player coming off your bench, and that to me seems like a more reasonable comp.
That's not sexy, Joe.
You don't want to tell your fans that he's the other Curry brother, but that's kind of what this pick feels like to me, is this is a guy that I don't have expectations. Maybe it's because the quality of the draft overall, and, like, he didn't start at Kentucky, and, you know, as in Calipari's last dance there, but what you're hoping to acquire is depth. We saw this in the finals. We saw this and the year before with the Nuggets, the Celtics. The deeper rosters are what's having great success. All these top picks are not going to be elite players for the Rockets. Some of them are going to develop into really good role players, and that's okay. And that's what they need with Reed Sheppard. They need someone that can come off the bench, that can spot start when you need him, and can knock down threes in big moments. If you can develop him into that guy, you crushed this draft. I don't have the expectation that he's going to be the next J.J. Redick, the next Seth Curry or Steph Curry. I just need someone that can consistently make threes, bring, you know, good work ethic and just the ability to shoot to this team.
Work ethic, yeah. Wonder why you said that, Joe.
That's what Ime Udoka loves, his work ethic.
It's a real gym rat.
First one in, last one out.
deceptively fast.
We read the Ringer scouting report on him.
I did not, Sean.
Oh, it was a lot of coded coded language. Where feel for the game was used a lot. His comps were Steve Nash and Derek White, which is a white person and the guy whose last name is White. But one of them was he got that dog in him. So that's
another good one.
Number one on my, it was number one on the Ringer's board and number one on my board.
It means you could play for CJ Stroud any day too.
Yes,
the King
or the Chicago Sky.
The Chicago Sky. You're right, Angel Reese. She's got that dog in her. Were you annoyed now that all those smoke screens were a waste of all of our time yesterday?
Which one? The Durant stuff.
The Durant stuff. Windhorst. Stephen A. Smith. Ultimately, all of that chatter that we got in the 24 hours leading up to the Rockets making that selection were a waste of time. There might have been some gamesmanship to it. I saw Jackson Gatlin theorize, he's somebody who covers the Rockets for Locked On Rockets, that this was something that they did because they felt like leaking that they were interested in Paolo Banchero a couple of years ago bit them in the ass, and that's why they ended up with Jabari Smith Jr. I don't know, though. I mean, everyone thought that Paolo was the best player in that draft. At least that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think we all read that draft wrong because the Magic didn't bring in Banchero for a workout, and then they just took him.
Right, exactly.
So I think everyone just kind of read that one wrong.
Were you annoyed by it, though? The smoke screens?
Dude, I'll be honest. I still don't think the Durant stuff's a smoke screen.
Oh, there we go, Joe.
He's still, like, all the conversation, none of it from Stephen A., Windhorst, Woj, not a single time in the audio we played yesterday was the number 3 overall pick mentioned. Not once. It was about the future Suns picks. I still wonder. It doesn't. So yeah, there's a chance Reed Sheppard never plays for the Rockets. I don't know if that's who the Suns would want. There's still something to me about the KD stuff. Now, the Donovan Klingon Şengün thing. Yeah, that was kind of far fetched to me. It felt
yeah.
When
that
we,
was that
when
was
we heard it when we heard it when Windhorst said if they take Klingon. It means they might be open to moving Şengün. That to me is far-fetched. I'm still a believer that the KD stuff is kind of real and could still be real.
The Klingon thing, the like, well, if they pick Klingon, then maybe Şengün. That to me felt like watch the draft on ESPN. Like that felt like it was promo for the draft. He would also say it feels like the draft starts at number 3 because there's two Frenchies going in the top 2 that average. Combined, if you average, they combined for 19 points per game in France and in Australia. So, yeah, Ray, watch the two guys that you saw in the tournament. Well, you didn't see you saw Reed Sheppard for one game of the tournament, but watch two guys that played college basketball instead.
Klingon went 7th overall, by the way, for all of that. And yeah. I'm glad the NBA needs to move away from these dinosaur players. Nothing against Klingon. I just know that type of player does not work in today's NBA.
Yeah, but then Zach Edey went number 9.
I think this is where we talk about this year's draft being terrible.
Exactly.
That Zach Edey, where they're like, yeah, he might get played off the floor sometimes, but man, he can set some screens for John Morant.
Like, I'd rather see cool. Taco Fall out there than Zach Edey.
Taco.
I mean, to be perfectly honest.
If we're going to just have a freak show, yeah.
I mean, well, the Rockets, hey.
We got ours.
It's not nice to call him a freak show. But the Rockets do have their fun guy in Boban.
I mean, I think it's a good description, Paul. You're outvoted here.
I'm not mean, okay? I don't call people soft or glass, especially if I have a soft-looking belly. And I am not going to call Boban a lovable man who just happens to be large. He can't control how big he is.
I called Taco Fall a freak show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't call Boban a freak
Part
show.
Of it's
you called Boban
name is
a
Taco
freak
Ball.
Show.
No, you guys talked about freak shows, and I brought
and
up players.
We didn't bring up Boban.
You're dropping the F-bomb on this show.
We didn't bring up Boban. You brought up Boban.
Well, yes, because you're talking about large human beings.
You're making assumptions, Paul.
You know what? We're only shortsist on this show, not bigsist, okay? It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More thoughts on the draft. I thought Rafael Stone had some interesting things to say about the trade that the Rockets made the night before, picking Reed Sheppard, and other overall thoughts from the draft. Gallant and George, stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I consider myself an American. I'm a blue-collar, hard-working American. Don't make no comments about my short shorts today. Don't you dare talk about that or my amazing T-shirt and its matching shoes, Joe George. Because where I'm born, this country, I believe in Americans. I believe in Americans getting jobs. And I remember when Americans went first overalls. Now we got these damn surrender frags taking our jobs. They took your jobs, Joe George.
But the Rockets employed an American.
Not just any American, Joe George. They're employing the right kind of American.
What does that mean?
Well, you can get
the
out.
From Kentucky?
If you don't know what that means, you can get out. He's a Kentucky boy. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. I mean, you got the Atlanta Hawks with their first overall pick, and they're picking this guy. What's his face? Research, Jay. How about do some research, Jay, on American players instead of taking these frogs? Oh, you got nothing to say to that, Joe? He endorsed that. I don't endorse that.
I support the Rockets.
And on top of that, we're bringing SARS into our country. I thought we were done with SARS.
I did, too.
SARS is done, and these French, they don't shower. Okay, they don't shave the women don't shave their armpits and the men don't shower. You know, they smoke cigarettes all day long.
What do you think about the guy the Hornets took?
Yeah, I forgot. There's another Frenchman in here. Oh, great, wonderful.
Another
person we're gonna have to rescue, like 1944.
Why is it all Frenchmen? They didn't represent the rest of Europe.
At least they took a Serbian too in the top 10.
He went 12th.
Taking her jerks. Hate that, man. Absolutely hate that.
Hate it.
I'm just kidding. On that front, it is funny, though, that the first two picks were French guys. And, Joe, somebody dumped on the pick of Researche.
Yeah, so Frank Mason, who played at, Kansas? A long time ago, it feels like, at this point. He apparently played in that same league against Researche. And he tweeted last night, played this young guy in France this past season. No way he's the number one pick in the NBA draft, LOL. But I guess.
Oh, my God.
If I was an Atlanta Hawks fan, I would probably cry seeing that. You're just like that's tough.
Is it possible, though, that this is another example of American basketball players hating foreign basketball players?
Because they're taking their jobs.
I mean, the funny thing is, you know, I just impersonated a character from South Park. It's a great episode. It took her jobs. These people from the future are taking all of the jobs that no American wants to take. Well, the funny thing is, it's not generally the rednecks of basketball, the Larry Birds, who are in opposition to these foreign players. Draymond Green seems to hate every single foreigner.
Gilbert Arenas. Putting out hits on the Euros.
Yeah, everyone hates Rudy Gobert. Everyone.
Fact.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I mean, he ruined the world.
He
caused the pandemic.
No one wants Nikola Jokic to be the best player in the league.
But he is. Look, we're in a weird place in the NBA where none of the top, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, none of the top players in the NBA are American-born.
Yeah.
None of the top players getting drafted are American-born. It's all a whole different
I will say, though, I get what Frank Mason's talking about. I looked up his stats last night because I did overhear them. Like, they mentioned his stats at one point. I was like, wait, were they right? They were right. Zachary Richache, who got picked number one to the Atlanta Hawks, averaged 10.1 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, and 0.9 assists per game. I get why Frank Mason was like, wait, that guy?
Especially if you played against him, and those are the numbers.
Yeah, and the comps on the Ringer. The Ringer had I was actually about to call him Rex Chapman. Reed Shepard, number one.
I hope he's not.
Man, all white people look the same to you.
Dell
called him Gen Z Rex Chapman, and dogs, that's infected my brain.
That sucks.
Dogs, bruh. Reed Shepard, dog. Rex Chapman, dogs, bruh.
Yeah, that's the difference. No, but they the comp for Researche for them was Tobias Harris and Harrison Barnes. So that's tough. This is a tough draft.
Even when you look at,
I'm not ready to give France basketball because these two clowns went 1-2.
I mean, they have four guys taken in the first round. You have Wembanyama.
How many Americans got picked in the first round? Like 26?
Like 25?
Yeah.
Not enough.
I think 25.
Not enough. It wasn't 30. I mean, failure. Massive failure.
Yeah, these two bums.
Sign of a dying empire. We can't sweep the first round, okay? Like, the University of Miami can sweep the first round of an NFL draft back in the day. We can't, as Americans, an effing country that expertise, that is basketball. Like, that's probably the global sport we do best. We can't beat out these damn frogs taking our jobs. I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
You're the one that said the French are going to win the Olympics.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
What, on our text line? Yeah. I was being really serious when I texted that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to use text against each other? Okay, Joe. Good luck on that front.
I'm just kidding.
So, did you watch the draft? The entirety of it? I went to the Rockets draft party. Shout out to Ruben and shout out to Sammy and the other guy who recognized me, made my night, inflated my ego a little bit. I left immediately after the Shepherd pick was done.
I watched as much as I could. In the NFL draft, someone leaks a pick, and the pick gets made on television within a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
Shams and everyone else had the Reed Shepherd pick. Washington had like 7 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah, there was a lot. They took their sweet time to get from when the clock was over as well. I mean, it's 5 minutes between picks, but they took their sweet time after the first pick was in to actually announce the first pick.
Yeah.
And to me, that was annoying. And I was like, okay, I'm not sitting through this entire first round.
I haven't watched much of the NBA draft since, I guess it was the COVID class, the 2021 group, where every single thing was a sob story.
Yeah.
Where they dug and dug and dug to find the worst tragic moments in these guys'
lives.
They did
that for the NBA, too? Because I know the NFL draft, that's where they really started it.
And I'm just like, I'm kind of over this.
It's because they moved it to network TV, and I think we're trying to draw in casuals instead of diehard sports fans by having human interest stories.
Yeah. So I watched through the Shepherd pick, and then once that was it, I was done at that point and just started watching. I watched more of the pregame, to be honest, because I was curious what they were saying about the players and where they thought they were going to go. But once the Rockets pick was done, you knew the Kevin Durant, Devin Booker madness of what speculation was there wasn't going to happen at that point. So I was pretty much done at that point. Frankly, I think ESPN's just awful at basketball.
Really?
Their finals coverage, their day-to-day coverage,
yeah, where's
their draft
Bill
coverage.
Simmons? Bring him back.
It's just not good.
A couple of questions, one on Twitch, one on YouTube. Clutch City says, given how bad this draft was, what does this say about Bronny?
He doesn't belong in the draft.
Michael A20 asks, will Bronny James go in the second round? I mean, I hate that we're asking the question. I heard James Worthy, who was caught off mic, or on a hot mic, saying essentially, like, I'm going to say that he's the best player in the draft, but clearly saying it sarcastically. It's one of those things where that's, I guess, what day two of the NBA draft is going to be. Maybe that's why they gave it a second night, because today is Bronny James night.
People made a lot of jokes about how, like, wait, the worst draft, like, in a decade is the first one they get two nights. I'm like, actually, it's very smart, because this is the only time anyone's ever cared about the second round of the draft.
It's not nights.
Yeah.
It's at 3 o'clock, isn't it?
Because the presidential debate.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a presidential debate today.
Yeah. But the only reason I know is because the NBA draft is going to be at 4 o'clock.
I like
the NBA, and I like the draft. I do not care whatsoever about the tipping picks or about the second round. Even last night, like after they showed the guy the Chicago Bulls picked crying for 5 straight minutes, I was like, all right, I'm good, guys. Like, I get it. He's from Illinois. He got drafted to the Chicago Bulls. I don't need to see every member in his family crying because they're so happy they don't have to move. Like, I miss me with this because I know, no offense, Joe, that guy's going to stink.
I'm
like,
a Rockets fan, though.
What are we?
He's official.
Made this official, like, last week or earlier this week.
Sorry.
But he's double official.
Oh, yeah, because Josh Giddey. You took the moral high.
Yeah, I bounced off after the Giddey move. I don't even know how to say that guy's name. He's from Chicago. Not totally sure.
Zealous?
All I care about tonight, I don't care about Bronny.
Jamal Shedd.
I care about Jamal Shedd.
Yeah. Coug plays Jamal Shedd to the Rockets. Let's go. Texas tags on YouTube. Rockets have to take Jamal Shedd round two. I agree. I don't know if they will, but it would be awesome.
Just take him.
Yeah. He's not going to play. Whatever.
Take I mean, him. That's the same reason the Lakers should pick Bronny. It's just, yeah, just make people happy.
Yeah, make us happy. I mean, you know?
If anyone, like, it's the same, except Tillman at least owns the team.
It's June 27th.
So is LeBron.
The Astros have a pop-up shop with screw gear. The Dynamo are appropriating. Pluckers is appropriating. If the Rockets want to appropriate tonight, don't do it that way. Mm. Pander to us by taking Jamal Shedd.
I was trying to think of, like, how can they pick DJ Screw?
Pour one out. Just bring out a foam cup and pour it out.
They bring Reed Shepard out, and he's like, I've often been a fan.
I really want Reed Shepard to explain Screw to me. We actually might do this later in the show. Like, three white guys explaining Screw culture. Because it'll be fun. Just like the time that Vanessa Richardson and I, during the early days of Vanessa and Gallant, were talking about authentic Tex-Mex. Sometimes we just got to lean into how white we are because I think it's funny in a kind of ironic, easy to make fun of kind of way. There was something I wanted to talk about with Rafael Stone really quickly. I thought he made a couple of interesting comments, Joe. One about how quantity over quality might be the way of the future when it comes to superstar trades in the new draft lottery, since you don't really have that high of a chance of getting the number one overall pick, to have draft picks that are down the road, trade them in. It does give you, I guess, a little bit more bang as far as the unknown of that draft pick. And Stone said that the move that they made the night before the draft diversified their picks, which makes it easier for them to trade, but also easier for them to pick because they're a very young team.
Yeah, I was curious what the motivation was and what he would say, because you really pretty much... I heard a podcast talking about this where what they basically are speculating is that the Brooklyn Nets... it was Simmons and Russillo. The Brooklyn Nets probably told the Rockets, hey, you have two choices. You either give us the picks back and take the Phoenix ones, or we're going to keep Bridges and we're probably going to add a guy like Trae Young, and you're going to pick 13th and 14th overall for the next two picks, and they're going to mean nothing to you. Or you can take a flyer on the Phoenix picks. But yeah, it's more about quantity at this point. Even though I'm not sure the lottery lasts like this forever.
Why not?
I just watching last night and seeing Detroit, like, once again get kind of screwed over, being one of the worst teams in the league. You see now Brooklyn's going to go in a full tank. I wonder if there's some sort of, not the correction to the old, you know, percentage lottery system, but now it's almost too balanced. I wonder,
it's good. It's good. Like, F those teams. If you are going to plan to lose so that you can win down the road, you should reap what you sow. If you're going to alienate your fan base and still charge exorbitant prices for tickets and cable packages, then you should have to sit in it, and it should not be a guarantee that you get it back. I hate that tanking has become so embraced. F the Pistons. F them. F them with the shovel. That's how I feel.
I understand.
I think the issues with the Pistons, though, is that they've been trying to win, and they just are so bad.
Like, they're not Brooklyn. Brooklyn's trying to. The Pistons are just an awful franchise.
Yeah, the Pistons were signing guys thinking they're going to do something.
Yeah, they paid a coach $95 million
They exploded the coaching market.
Yeah, but he's right. Diversify your portfolio, add more picks. It's about quantity, not quality.
Dividends.
You look at what just happened with Brooklyn and the Knicks. It took 5 first-round picks to acquire Mikal Bridges. Mm-hmm. You need as much draft capital as possible.
It's also a case of pushing them farther down the road to where you don't need to keep adding a 19-year-old every year to this. I mean, because we're already at a core 7, guys. Next year, core 8?
Core 9? Do they have a first next year?
What?
Do they have a first next year?
Probably.
Yeah. It'll be in the 20s.
Oh, wow.
High teens on the shot.
Well, no, don't they also have one of the Suns ones?
Probably. I can't keep track. Trying to keep track of what's happening with the Rockets straight after this is impossible.
I know they have 3 in 2027, and in 29 and 30, they have 2.
Trading picks into the 30s.
Yeah.
Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. The Astros have won 7 in a row, and they are at 500 for the first time all year. About effing time, number one. Is it okay to celebrate this? To be happy about this? That's number two. We'll discuss next. So stick around. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Now Pena has himself another hit. Dubon should score easily and will. It's going to be a 7-1 game. Back-to-back at bats with a hit for Jeremy Pena, and he drives in a run.
Jeremy Pena, and the Astros are back at 500 today.
And they'll be back to 500 tomorrow, too.
Jeremy Pena, and the Astros have a 7-game winning streak as well today.
Over 500 tomorrow, Joe George, you calling it?
Yeah, by then tomorrow. Yes.
They're going up against Grimace.
They're, man, the Mets are rolling.
We got our Purple Day going on. Happy June 27th. They got Grimace going on. There was a video of at the Mets game last night, a person doing a chugging while in a Grimace costume. Mm-hmm. Mets fans are getting a little cocky all of a sudden.
I mean, they're also back to 500. They're 39-39.
So this is the, we were really disappointing, sorry, Bull, this weekend.
I was going to ask if this is their second World Series.
I mean,
we didn't limit how many World Series there could be.
With the amount of money both teams are paying for their very, very, very bad product at this point this year, sure.
It's the back to 500 World Series.
It's the World Series of disappointment.
Both teams have really figured it out in a big way. I mean, the Mets have only lost, four games since June 3rd?
Wow.
They are rolling, turning their season around. In a major way. The Astros have turned their season around. 2 weeks ago, this series meant nothing. Now, this is one of the more intriguing series that we've seen in a while. You got two teams, red hot, figured it out. Who comes out on top and really continues this stretch of baseball? I hope it's the Astros, because we still don't know who's pitching for the Astros on Sunday.
And we'll talk more about the actual Mets series tomorrow, but they've won 7 in a row, and they're back at 500. Mm-hmm. And online, lots of people are happy about it. I'm sure a lot of people listening right now, you're happy about it. I don't see as much celebration, though, this comment from Joe Espada, where he says that this is what winning teams do, this is what champions do. It's a little rich.
I go to the makeup and the character of this team, always. You know, this is a team that fights through stuff, injuries, ups and downs, struggles. They stick to each other. They fight. We don't stop believing in each other. That's what champions do.
Okay. I mean, I would prefer the champions don't start off the season 40-40.
Yeah, I prefer the written word that we got from a couple of the guys. In a piece in The Athletic, Mauricio Dubon said it's a good first step.
And Ryan Presley also, I thought, had the best comments about it. Ryan Presley basically said the same thing. No one's happy about this. No one's satisfied about this. We have more that we got to do.
Yeah. And that's what it is. They shouldn't be satisfied. It is a good first step. Pena said you have to start somewhere. But from the outside, the clubhouse perspective, yeah, there is a reason to celebrate this. You're back to 500 after a season in which you were 10 games out of first place last week. A season in which I think most people were done. And if you weren't, I'm not sure I believe you, really, because of how bad the season was going. Or you're the ultimate homer on earth to believe that this season would turn around this fast. Maybe not turn around eventually, but to be back to 500, to go on the 7-game win streak. Everyone has been, you know, getting on Dana. We have been, Dana Brown, all year going on radio and saying, we're going to win 8 in a row. We're going to win 10 in a row. It's going to come. It's going to come. And they got 7. So it is a reason to celebrate getting back to 500.
Oh, I mean, look, I get it, but no, you can't do this. Can't do this. We're above this. We're above this.
Yeah,
we're above. Joe, what is that? I mean, God, this bear stuff.
We're not popping champagne. We're not. You know, this isn't winning a wild card round and celebrating the clubhouse.
This is like when the Texans finally beat the Colts in Indianapolis, where everyone was excited about it, and I was like, no, it's embarrassing that it took this long.
I mean, it is embarrassing it took this long.
It's embarrassing that it took the Astros this long to get back to 500.
Agreed. But it's a good thing they're back there. It's okay to celebrate because the season's not over.
No celebration. No celebration here.
I think there's going to be a little bit of celebration.
No. Why? Why, Joe? Because is the Bears stuff again.
No. It's because their season's not dead.
It is interesting to see how things change so quickly, because I posted something about a week ago on my social media channels about how the Astros are a bad product and they've won every single game since then. And now I got a lot of people that are coming at me saying, what are you talking about, bad product?
Yeah, because they don't look at the timestamp of when things are posted. I was getting crushed on we were getting crushed a little bit on one of our social media posts.
We said I first.
Well, you were in the video too.
Okay.
About the Astros not selling, or that talking about not selling at the deadline. We posted it last week.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It was last week that I was saying, stop telling me you're not going to sell. You're going to sell. They're not going to sell. They're buying now.
I don't want anybody to celebrate this, though. I feel like we take it a day at a time, and I think that Ryan Presley's quote, which I did not read, is very appropriate. Here is what Ryan Presley had to say. There's no sense of relief. This team expects to win. It's nice to win series and get some sweeps and have a good homestand, but it's all for nothing if you go back to your old same ways. This is an opportunity to capitalize on some momentum, and this team knows how to do that. And credit the Colorado Rockies, because since that season reset that the Astros had, the first one, April 27th, they are 33-21. Only two American League teams have better records since then, the Guardians and Yankees. And also, the Rockies just suck. The Rockies could have had 5 errors yesterday.
They were. That's a tough watch, them and the White Sox.
I think it's a fun watch, honestly. I like it when a team just absolutely blows a defense, because it's funny. The Boston Red Sox, I think it was 2 years ago, someone put together a montage of all the defensive lapses that they had in the year. It was like 10 minutes long. It was great.
Baseball errors are one of the funnier mistakes in sports. Basketball is usually pretty good, too, especially when like a player throws it to one of their teammates that's sitting on the bench. That's pretty good. But baseball errors always seem to have an extra...
Yeah, they're the most catastrophic.
Yeah, a little more comedy in them when they happen. Even the Gunnar Henderson play from the Orioles series, where he made a great diving catch, but then he doesn't know where to go with the baseball, and he tried to lollipop it to third base to get Bregman. It wasn't the worst play on the planet, but it was... It's objectively hilarious as it's happening.
We have some comments here. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pump Gas 30 says that we should be playing Don't Stop Believing underneath Joe Espada, talking about this is what champions do. Yes, if you want to celebrate this, you can, as long as you're doing it ironically.
Mm-hmm.
An ironic champagne bath. Ironic cigar.
I prefer the text here from the 917. You guys said there was one more season starts today when Abreu was let go. So treat it as such. We'd be pumped if the season started like this. Fact.
What if they'd done this during the offseason? What if they had just gotten rid of Jose Abreu? Or what if they had convinced him, even better, to retire? Now, be hard to convince someone to retire when they're set to make, I don't know, $40 million or so.
Could you have found a different role for him? Ambassador, a $40 million ambassador. Could he have been a $40 million part of the inner council? Mm-hmm. You know, hey, guys, this is what you don't do. You don't sign players like me that are aging quickly. Could he have been an advisor, Jeff Bagwell, for $40 million? Could he have been Jeff Bagwell's assistant? Like, could you have found a different role for him? The facts are the Astros are going to play this season, in which we are going to look back at the first month of the season and the time in which Jose Abreu was on this team, and if things don't really, really turn around, he is going to get, in the front office, for having just Abreu on the team, is going to get the blame. Probably rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because they've been really good without him.
They have. All right, coming up next, another example of the Astros playing games with us when it comes to health. And the Astros are guilty of appropriation today. It's got me wondering, what are the best things to do to pander to your base here in the city of Houston, Texas. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. So there's no baseball game tonight, but you can bet on all sorts of other fun things at mybookie.ag. You can play a little poker. You can play a little blackjack. Live dealers. And if you enter promo code BET975 as a first-time subscribee, you will get up to $1,000 matched by mybookie.ag that you can play with right away. If you are already an existing customer, guess what? You also get a bonus by entering the promo code BET975. What's going to happen this weekend? You got Houston. You got New York. You got Purple Drank versus Grimace. Hell, you know what else you can bet on with a little debate tonight? You can bet on who will be the next president of the United States at mybookie.ag. I am not kidding. You can bet on literally anything here, from the next president to, on top of that, who's going to win Friday's baseball game. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, mybookie.ag.
Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
On the season, averaging 93.7. Today, averaging 95.
Wow.
Hey. Got him! New career high, number 9 for Spencer Arrighetti, getting the hot Ryan McMahon to end the inning.
He had 10 strikeouts yesterday.
Woo!
There is a part of me that wants to say, you know what? Spencer Arrighetti might be the next great Astros pitcher, but I am pumping the brakes a little bit because the Colorado Rockies just blow. They suck. What a terrible baseball team. Can't play defense. Can't hit. Can't pitch. They stink.
It was important, though. When you look at his last start, I mean, he gave up 3 earned runs versus the White Sox, only pitched 4.1 innings. He only had 2 strikeouts in that game. The game before was the Tigers game, which he got moved up because of JV getting hurt. He gave up 7 earned runs in an inning and a third. So it was a big bounce back.
Because
he had been pretty solid around those 2 starts in recent. You know, his previous 3 before that were really damn good. He'd only given up 2 earned runs in his previous 3 starts before the Tigers game. So this was confidence-wise, nice to see. Very curious to see what he looks like when I guess he'll pitch against Toronto next.
He did hit 95 on the gun. We're still trying to figure out what the hell the Astros are doing, though, for the 5th guy in the rotation. We still don't know. And we do know today, Joe, it's definitely not going to be J.P. France at any point the remainder of this year. After Dana Brown earlier this year said that they rushed J.P. France back from a shoulder injury, which had a setback, he is now officially headed for season-ending surgery, joining Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier. Thus far.
We're waiting on JV news. The Justin Verlander stuff, because the Astros give you no reason to believe them anymore. Lance McCullers is really the reasoning behind this. Luis Garcia is a little more straightforward, Tommy John. But McCullers got hurt against the White Sox in the ALDS. What was that? 2-3 years ago at this point? And they're hopeful he'll pitch in August, September for the Astros this year. And now J.P. France, they rush him back. He's hurt and out for the year. Not that he was probably going to be a big contributor, but you could have used J.P. France on Sunday with the way the season's gone. They keep adding to their list of pitching injuries. And I don't know. It feels like they're just doing something wrong. We don't know what it is. We're not doctors, but they just seem to have a really challenging time getting pitchers back on the field in a timely manner and not screwing it up.
Did you know that barbers used to be surgeons, and that the sign, that little stripe sign that's outside of a barbershop that you'll sometimes see, it's because that used to be the universal sign for barber surgeons. Because they were, I guess, good with blades enough where they could, yeah, cut your hair, shave your face, but also they would sometimes perform surgery. So I don't know if we've got a bunch of barbers that are operating with the Houston Astros.
You ever get a straight razor shave?
I have not. Wait, no, I did do it once.
I got once, too.
I did do it once.
It's pretty nice.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever had a mustache. I let it sit for about 5 minutes.
So you did the straight razor around the whole face except for the mustache?
And then I felt like I looked scary. If you get my drift.
Yeah, I get your drift, Paul.
As far as other Astros injuries, Kyle Tucker hasn't played since June 3rd. It is June 27th. Shout out to DJ Screw.
Who knows when he's coming back either. I mean, Dana Brown said within 10 days when he did his interview yesterday. So maybe by next Sunday that Kyle Tucker's back. This one's different than the pitchers. This one seems more of a unfortunate injury.
Yeah.
It's just taking more time to heal because he smashed a baseball off his leg. Where but JP France, they rushed him back.
It's taking way more time to heal than they thought.
Yeah, I don't believe it's a bruise.
They've been off by what? They said like 3 days. Actually, they said two, but I'll give them 3 days. It's going to be 30. Like, what are we talking about? You're off by so much.
I was trying to remember when he played last, and I thought for sure it was a lot more recently than June 3rd. But it's been since June 3rd that Kyle Tucker's been out. So hopefully he's back soon. But hey, I mean, they haven't missed him. So for what it's worth.
Okay. I saw this the other day. It was, I don't know the relationship. I don't know if Lance is still here with, if Mike is his brother, uncle, Mike Zerline.
Are you talking about the Zerline clan?
Yeah. But he always gets like back and forth with Jeremy now.
Mike Zerline?
Yeah.
And he's intense online.
He tried to bring up Tucker being not on the team and their record since Tucker's been hurt when Jeremy was tweeting about Jose Abreu not being on the team. I'm like, oh, timeout.
No, I like this.
These
I
are
like
not
it.
The same.
No, this is like Alperen Şengün getting hurt.
Joe, these are the takes that you need to do.
I'm not doing that one. I am not going on the record that the Astros are better off without Kyle Tucker.
You got to go on record and then stand your ground just for the sake of doing it.
Not for this one. You can take this one. You can be Eric with an A or an E. I'm still not sure which one died second, spoiler alert, in Game of Thrones this weekend.
Damn,
and fall
dude. Come on. House of the Dragon, too, by the way.
It's been 5 days.
Know your show.
Might be. Sorry to disrespect.
Well, I'm supposed. What if I didn't get a chance to watch it on Sunday? I'm supposed to have watched it by now?
Yes.
I actually agree with that. I hate that all of a sudden everyone gets so
mad. It's 5 days. To me, 48 hours.
I also think Eric and Arik. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right spoiling that
but,
one.
But this is your chance to be whichever one, you know, fell on the sword. You take the take.
It was Eric.
It's like confusing two white
You titles. Still don't know that.
Yes, I do.
I think it was the bad one.
They're both dead.
You can fall on the sword and take this take if you want of Kyle Tucker.
Now you want me to kill myself? Damn, dude.
No, you're telling me to fall on the sword.
No, I'm just saying have the take.
I don't want the take. You can have it.
All right, fine. I think it's a good take, Mike Zerline. Shout out to you. My tip of the hat. Justin Verlander also still not throwing. And he's not going to come on the upcoming road trip for the first leg, at least.
Yeah, and they're looking at more like more of a rehab start. They're saying so. He's going to be in Sugarland.
Can't pitch tonight. What the hell?
I know.
We're in Sugarland.
Nice. Well, Paul's pitching tonight.
I'm pitching tonight in Sugarland.
You nervous at all?
I am truly perplexed as what to do.
You throw the baseball.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Okay.
And then wave to the crowd. Take a bow.
I might dab. What I want to know is whether or not I should throw it as hard as I can. Is that going to be frowned upon? Are the Space Cowboys going to be annoyed?
No.
Could I potentially injure one
of
them?
Joel threw it as hard as he could.
He did throw it as hard as he could? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was it not very hard?
I mean, at his age, he was a college, he was a college pitcher.
I mean, also, what you have to remember is you are throwing to a professional baseball player.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no way you're throwing is hard.
I agree. I mean, the last...
Well, actually, we don't know. I don't know how hard you can throw. That's unfair of you to say you can't throw as hard as a AAA player.
So, I've thrown it twice in the last 5 years with a radar gun. The first time, and I was told that I was holding the ball, like palm-balling it. I think I got 60. I think. I forget. And then also at the Andretti
version of Dave and Buster's, essentially, out in Katy. I was throwing as hard as I could, and that machine said I got 73. I don't know if I believe that one.
I would juice the hell out of the machines if I ran one of those places. I'd be like, I want everyone thinking that they're like, you know what? With this fastball, I work on a slider. I'm in a bullpen.
Remember the Oakland A's signed a guy who's throwing 100 before a game? And within the last, 4 years, he was throwing 100 outside their stadium, and they did it.
What if this first pitch tonight is the last night I'm with you guys because I'm going to be an Astros starter?
Will you give me
spoilers? It's like the rookie?
Yeah.
It would be really funny. It would also be depressing.
Paul, I hope this is a good first pitch for you. I hope you're fulfilled and get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
The two funniest things. A, the rookie happens, and you're now you're starting on Sunday for the Astros. Two, Tommy John surgery.
That would be really funny.
Those are the two funny
things. That would be really funny.
Here's the thing, Paul. When
you try to blow out
I hope it's the first one, but those are two funny ones.
But if you get signed by the Astros, they'll probably DFA you when you are hurt your shoulder and can't pitch the rest of the year. So you might get one start in. Look at Bloss. He got one start and then got hurt.
Okay. Listen, I can dream.
I just think your goal should
be the Jake Bloss of the ESPN 97.5.
Well, I just think your goal should be to get it in the catcher's glove.
See, that's disrespectful.
That's demeaning.
No, you don't want to bounce it.
That's disrespectful.
Would you rather throw it as hard as you can and throw it 10 feet over the catcher?
I don't think I'm going to throw it 10 feet over the catcher. Assuming that they are giving me a correct baseball, they're not giving me some little wiffle ball or something like that, I feel confident. But everyone's told me that this ball might not be a real baseball, so I'm a little concerned.
Have you practiced at all? Have you been like...
No. Oh, okay. I'm just going to show up.
Hey, maybe you'll throw it to Omar Narváez.
Who's that?
Or Narváez.
Signee.
The Astros signed him yesterday.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be a minor league catcher. I mean, he played in the bigs for a long time.
Yeah.
He's catching depth as Victor Caratini's out for a long time.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I'm looking forward to tonight's Sugarland Space Cowboys experience. Come on out. 975 tickets. If you do join us, there's no other baseball tonight. You want to watch the debate? Really? You want to watch that? You're just going to be depressed. Watch Paul Gallant become a major league pitcher by throwing in a minor league baseball game. I'm obviously kidding. It's Gallant and George, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next is June 27th. That means that everybody's pandering. Move over, Gay Pride Month. It's DJ Screw Day. But what's a better way to pander here in Houston than what the Astros and a lot of other companies are doing? We'll discuss that next. Stick around, Gallant and George.